Hey everyone, welcome to the Obojima Podcast. My name is Jeremiah, and I am with Ari and Adam. We are the writers of Obojima, and today you're going to jump in on our writers' meeting, a weekly meeting, bi-weekly, or double weekly meeting, where we sit down and we talk about things that we have written recently, where we're at in certain projects, and today we're going to jump into a very specific topic, which is Sky Kai Valley. I don't even have to look at my phone. I'm so good at this. Sky Kai Valley, which is one of the larger, I would say, perhaps above village. Yeah. Dare I say town? I think it's on the it's on the left side of Mount Abora. So keep on going. Yeah, like in that area, or maybe that is it. I don't really know where we're gonna put it.
Yeah,
I guess it goes off the cliff faces, generally. So there's no beach side. So it'll have to be on one of the cliff faces, I think probably on the left side. We'll figure it out somewhere in that area. above the gift of Shiratashi, which is the region to the west of the island. And it is an interesting place that we are going to build right in front of you right now. And so that's what I want to jump into today is the Sky Kai Valley, which, brief description, and then we'll just jump into it, is a large stone-structured city on the cliff faces of the Land of Hot Water that lead into the shallows, the ocean side, and they are known for flying contraptions and kite parades and these giant things that generate flight through the heat.
Yeah.
What do we call it?
Thermal
currents generated from the Land of Hot Water and the ocean side to fly these huge flying machines and gliders and kites and planes all throughout this section. And that's pretty much all we have, if I remember correctly. There might be a few other things. But what I want to jump into today, after we've talked about what it is what's important, what's cool about it. Let's flesh out this location. And so the first thing I want to talk about is flying machines, because that's the biggest part of Sky Kai Valley. Let's start with the flying machines. That's also the coolest. What flying machines are there? I think from what I am comprehending, what I'm thinking is mostly non-magical flying machines.
Yep.
So in Obojima, there's all of these machines like planes and other things like that have been brought back to operation through means of magic and spirits whelming them and enabling them to operate again. And then there's hot air balloons and there's gliders and there's these other devices that people have figured out how to operate through non-magical means, through the ingenuity of mechanics and creators and inventors. And a lot of these people exist within Sky Kite Valley. And so what I want to talk about is what flying machines exist in this space.
I mean, we had talked about like these kind of paper lantern balloon kind of things.
Yeah.
I think it's just weird and different, and I like that it's I think we can kind of push physics in that, you know, probably in the real world it wouldn't work, but in this world it does somehow. Maybe there's like a special kind of flame they use. Maybe it's like you put this ingredient from the Land of Hot Water. Maybe there's some kind of like special rock or special coal, and when you kind of load the burner in the balloon with it this like bright green flame comes up, and you know, then this whole thing sort of like is helium lifted into the air.
A while back we had discussed the concept of like these giant pink candles that are generated, like a paper
That's
lantern
right.
with
yeah.
a huge tree width size yeah. candle in the center, with multiple wicks. And then what you do is you'd light, you know, if you want to go higher, you'd light 5 wicks. If you want to go lower, you'd extinguish a few of the wicks. And so it's kind
That's
of like
fun.
This weird topsy-turvy pink candle that that takes forever to generate.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's some pink candle maker that makes one a year.
And in world, they would talk about it. They'd be like, well, we're going to go up like 3 wicks. Like, we're going to go up 3 wicks and then, you know, we're going to last a 3/4 of a candle and then we'll wick it down. Yeah. You know, like,
snuffer. Like, yeah. I love that.
And it's neat. I'd love to see a bunch of different balloon designs, you know, just like one looks like a giant fish and another one looks like an octopus or one looks like a giant cat, you know. And it makes me think there's like these hot air balloon festivals, you know, and that could be like a big festival where it's like, you know, the flying of these lantern balloons that you know, go out. And then of course you could have an adventure where like all of a sudden, you know, like the hunter comes and like grabs one of these balloons and takes it off, you know, and then everybody's like, oh my gosh.
Really quickly, let's talk about the hunter for just a brief moment, because I feel like we mentioned it last time.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
But the hunter is like a ginormous bird.
Yeah.
Which we've not decided on what it is yet, but it's like a giant beast that that flies and, you know, around Obojima.
Is it like a rock, or is it like a rock, you know, like maybe we just base the stat block of a rock and then we just
rock,
kind of
ROC.
ROC rock. But you know, this thing could have 6 eyes and, you know, 4 wings, and it could be just some kind of freaky,
it could be crazy looking.
Like, or it could be like maybe a pteranodon kind of almost dinosaur like beast that flies. And it doesn't necessarily terrorize the coast, but people respect it. Like,
well, like we kind of talked about the idea that people might even think that it's like the protector of the island.
Yeah.
That like, when it, you know, if it eats once a year and it eats one of the giant koi that, you know, that, or the goldfish that, fly through the sky, it's not as like a, you know, it'd be pretty horrifying to watch this thing eat it. But all of the people on the island are like, oh, you know, it's feasted. It's great. Maybe they go and like scavenge, go and collect scales and stuff like that. But it's not a bad thing. It's never seen as a bad thing.
I mean, what happens when all these fish start to become skeletonized? Does the hunter now not have the koi to feast on, and then it starts to like,
it needs other food.
It starts to look inland.
That's a possible adventure hook right there.
It's like, you know, and trying to figure out a way to, you know, solve the mystery of the why these, you know, great giant koi are getting skeletonized. You know, of course a lot of roads on Obojima are going to lead to the corruption, and this is just another one of them. It's like maybe Sky Kite Valley, there could be a crew of, I don't know if AHA would be the faction that is really kind of, it might be like, hey, we're you know, using the Sky Kite Valley balloons to kind of study. And maybe they fly up to one of these, like the Sky King, and they kind of use the balloon and they're kind of following this thing as it kind of lazily just kind of wanders through the sky, and they're just trying to study it. You know? Yeah.
Well, so that's the other thing is, if all of these flying contraptions exist in the world, why aren't they used, or are they used throughout Obojima all the time? If there's hot air balloons, you know, why aren't we using them constantly?
Maybe they're only used because of, maybe the thermal current that comes up off the land of hot air is magic. And once you get outside that boundary, you plummet. Doesn't matter. You know,
well, we'd also discussed the Postal Brigade having one of these things, and like being able to, you know, take it to go help people that are in desperate need, like postal knights that have gotten lost in the wetlands or something like that. You could also just put a scarcity on, the pink candle wax that's used. Like, you know, there's only a handful of crew, like there's a crew of 10 that generates these, and like they can only make 4 a year.
Yeah.
And like other people have tried, but it just doesn't have the magic, you know, as a possibility.
I mean, I do like the idea, to Adam's point, like whether it's hot air balloons or even just kind of these large kites or whatever, that, you know, flight across the island might not be common, but maybe it is all throughout this area. Right, like you have like little ones, big ones, and all this kind of stuff. So when you come here, it gives you like something to experience that's different.
Yeah.
I love the idea of these different shapes and how I just imagine Sky Kite Valley as being this very colorful place. Mm-hmm. When you kind of, you know, if you're coming down off the slopes of Mount Arbora, like you see this just like colorful expanse, and it would just be this, you know, really rich experience. And you know, you see these flying machines buzzing all over the place and going from place to place. It'd be really cool.
That'd be neat. Yeah.
I think in addition to the balloons, I think the balloons are probably more sparse.
The big ones?
They exist. Yeah, they exist, but they're more sparse. I think what would be more common in Sky Kite Valley would be gliders. Things that don't necessarily allow you to fly, but if you catch the thermal winds or if you're starting at a high location, you can get to other locations fairly easily.
Yep.
Like these kind of cool design hang glider type things where you just like these people are like running off of cliffs and like, woo, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, kids on bikes with like a hang glider attached to the end of their bike, and they kind of ride off the side, and as they come back down, they just kind of pick back up onto the
sidewalk. It like
the
folds up. Like,
yeah. That's pretty cool.
I like the idea of just, there's like a fearless, like recklessness about, you know, the people who kind of grew up here. I like that quite a bit.
That's neat.
Yeah. I feel like everyone here, not everyone, but I would say half the people in Sky Kite Valley are like, oh yeah, I know how to fix a thing, or I can do that for you. Like they're very craftsy. Mm-hmm. They're always building things, they're always making contraptions. I think that's really fun and super cool. And like a lot of them obsessed with flight, which is like as a culture within this town, being obsessed with flying in the skies is very cool. Maybe do they revere the hunter in like a more meaningful way?
Do you mean like as a source of inspiration or like out of reverence, like an actual kind of...
I would say like religiously, but maybe, you know, if the town has a crest, maybe it's, you know, the crest is the hunter.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people, there might be sayings based on the hunter in this town, like, you know, insert saying here.
Yeah.
there might be another fun folksy sayings. Yeah. You know, the hunter never flies after midnight. It's like, oh, what is it? You know, you just come home early.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I can see a tavern called the Hunter, you know, and you go into the Hunter, or like, you know, Hunter Ale or something. You know?
Yeah.
Like everything's kind of, you know, branded the Hunter stuff. Yeah. You know,
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
There's also something connected here, which is, and I want to jump into the other people, but it's on the coastline. It's directly on the shallows, which might be, you know, compared to Tidewater, which is another coastal city. It might be the only city. Oh, there's another one on the eastern side. There's very few cities that are directly on the water. So this is directly on the water, which means that it has interaction with the shallows. It has interaction with the lion king fish, which is a topic we'll jump on soon. It has interactions with the Divers Guild. And in fact, I believe we have one of the Coastal Divers Lodge is the Eastern Coastal or the Northern Coastal Coastal Divers Lodge is set in Sky Kite.
Okay. Yeah.
So that means that on top of the ingenuity that this city already boasts, there's also someone like Holly who built, you know, this giant submersible swordfish that can go underwater. Yeah. So that kind of makes sense that there, if there is all this inventive, creative nature in Sky Kite Valley where they're making flying machines and they're doing these things, it would make sense that Holly set up, you know, there, and it's probably pretty easy to get tools and, you know, she can get a lot of materials there. It might be easier to get assistance on mechanics while she's there compared to anywhere else on the island.
Yeah. I wonder if that's all come about out of necessity. Like, I don't know how long, like, you know, once the corruption hit the East Coast, you know, there was already sort of people in this area were kind of these curious inventors, and Sky Kite Valley just seemed to attract curious inventors. But then now that there's this sort of reason, like, oh, we really need to invent because we're trying to discover, like, something weird is happening and we need to discover what the problem is. Now there's these, you know, now there's kind of the purpose to all of it instead of just like being curious about flight and being curious about how to harness the environment and how to, you know, what if we did this, or what if we, you know, made this, you know, can we perfect pink candle wax to another level where mm-hmm. it becomes, now it's more like, oh, now all the stuff that we've invented is now has this purpose. And it, you know, it's fairly recent that the corruption's been here,
mm-hmm.
but I think here they're kind of really, they're starting to feel that sense of urgency. Maybe that if you were to travel around, you would hear some people might say, oh yeah, we heard that on the East Coast, there's this weird thing. And yeah, well, you know, people are, you know, kind of losing their minds or whatever, but I'm just going to tend to my flock of goats and, you know, big deal. But if you go to Skykite Valley, you get the sense of like, no, we're actually taking data. Like, cause I feel like they're kind of scientific here and they might be like, hey, no, we've flown up to the giant koi that are, or the Sky King, and we've studied the Sky King over its process of being skeletonized.
Yeah.
And they're like, we've taken magical readings and here's what we know. It's not very conclusive. It's not very clear, but we do know something weird has happened since the corruption hit. I mean, is it something like that?
Well, it's possible. I will say on the map, I'm looking at it, and it actually looks like Skykite Valley is in the exact opposite location of the corruption as far as like the parallel. So if the corruption is down on the, yeah, kind of like, there. Yeah, in that area, Skykite would be up on there. The opposite end of the island.
So
that is kind of interesting. But what I will say is, are they concerned about the corruption, or are they concerned about another topic, which we had kind of briefly mentioned, which is this I don't know how you'd say this, this clock, which runs out in the ocean off of the tide that pulls it in and out, and it stopped working over the course of since the corruption arrived.
Yep.
So is it that they're concerned? Are they concerned about the corruption specifically, or are they concerned about the island and what's going on with the clock and what's happening with the magics? Like, I wonder if it's like a specific connection for them to the corruption, or if in general they think there's something, and maybe they're all focused on like what's going on in the water. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're, you know, more than ever, they're wanting to explore the shallows, and there's all the Holly might be over inundated with all of these like requests to like go on the next expedition, which, you know, she can't do because she can't get the Pontier up here because it's damaged.
Mm-hmm.
Our Pontier.
That's what's really exciting, is the idea that this place is buzzing with activity because of all of these things that are happening. And I think folks know this is where you go if you need to have a specialty vehicle created or something like that. So like, you know, all sorts of requests, and like, but you have local people dealing with this problem of this, you know, enormous, you know, clock. And I think that there's something, anytime we can create like a reason for people to be in these different places or to go visit them, or that they're, you want the implication that they're not just like waiting for adventurers to show up and then things start happening. Like there's stuff like, going on all like the time, you know?
Yeah. It's like Westworld where, you know, they're just all deactivated when you show up, it's like, hello. Yeah,
that's interesting.
So yeah, it's going to be up to the DM to sort of say like how these locations, like how much do they know, how urgent are they around these issues? Like, I mean, there are mysteries, like you could have it where, you know, Skykite Valley is pretty much just, they're just kind of doing Wright Brothers stuff. You know, they're just like, hey, like we're just trying to perfect cool flying machines and we're enjoying sort of the winds that come in off the coastland. You know, we're, you know, the valley has a natural sort of funnel effect, and the land of hot water has these thermals, and we're just playing around with that. And that's all we're doing. And
pretty disconnected from the rest of the world.
Pretty disconnected.
They're just like obsessed with their own things.
Or they could be like the place you go to get the most information about the thing that's happening with the Sky King. Like, you're just, what happened to this great creature? You know, that would be alarming to them if they've, you know, for centuries, they've, let's say, you know, the Sky King is ancient like that. And for generations, they've revered this creature. They've, you know, wondered about it. And then all of a sudden, like within however long, it just kind of withers and turns into a skeleton. And then they're like, whoa, like, what is this?
Maybe when in current setting, when adventurers get there, there's this huge, the buzz around town is the expedition to the Sky King.
Sweet.
And so everyone's like, they're like, we're going to, you know, we've never done this before. We're putting two candles in, you know, we're building a special hot air balloon that can hold two candles. And we're going to try to
get up
sail
there.
Up there. And they're making a team. And they're like, yeah. Maybe they're even like hosting tryouts. They're like, yeah. Do you want to be a part of the team? You know, the aeronauts that make it to the Sky King. That's, you know, cool. There's posters all over the place, yeah. And kids are talking about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you could almost do it like a 1960s moon landing style. Like everyone's talking about the aeronauts who are going to make it up there. And like, you know, there's, you know, the inventor and there's a couple different pilots and there's a bunch of other stuff. And then there's all these posters where it's silhouettes of four people that are, yeah. Have yet to be decided.
Yep.
And people are, yeah. Obsessed with that.
And there's like a village meeting every week, which is like a Save the Sky King. Yeah. And they've got like t-shirts or something, or they've got the, you know,
that's cool. Yeah. There's like tags all over, yeah. The place. You could also do, you know, if we wanted to kind of put an analog or reference the fact that this is like the moon landing, you could have the people that are very anti Sky King.
Yeah.
Like the protesters are like, just leave it alone. You, yeah. Know, it's, you know, or people that are terrified. Like it's, yeah. It's an ill omen. Like this, yeah. Is going to, this is marking the end of Obajima or something.
The
like
doomsayers.
That. Mm-hmm. Which would be really, really, yeah. Interesting. And that's, you could, yeah. You could do the opposite too with Holly. Rather than having everyone flux to her to try to be like, we want to explore the depths, you could have it be like, she's getting no assistance. She's like, I, yeah. Used to be able to get parts, but they're putting them all towards this aeronaut thing. I can't get parts for the Pontier. I can't,
oh, yeah.
I can't go diving. No one's signing up to, you know, the diver. Oh, some of my divers left to go try to, you know, help with the race or whatever. Cause everyone's so obsessed. Yeah. So Holly could be like, I'm down a bunch of people and there needs to be, you know, there's something going on in the water and I need assistance, but I can't get any.
And maybe the adventurers might steal some stuff.
Ooh,
you know, like, and just to like say like, all right, you know, Holly's like, I need two fans and, you know, like a propeller blade and like, I'll never get it. And then she walks off and then it's up to the party. They could be like, well, we can either buy it or we could barter for it or we could just steal it. We're going to get some rogue action in there. Yeah.
That's cool. I really like that.
Yep.
Another really thing. One more thing. This is kind of a tangent. But I want to bring it up because I think it's really cool. What if there were flying devices? What if their fishing techniques were through flying machines that dive underwater like fish, like birds would?
Like a flying fish?
Yeah, like it, like, well.
Yeah, I mean, like, that would be cool.
I was thinking more like a pelican.
Yeah, it could be.
But like one that like glides and it has like a mouth that opens up.
Yeah.
And then it goes to a school and just goes and dives, yep. In and then like turns into a boat and,
yeah.
Then it just floats home.
I want a flying fish sub now though, like this like thing that comes up, because if you've seen those things are so far out.
Yeah, they're so cool.
Yeah, just like, and then just kind of glide around and bloop back down.
I really like all of that. Okay, so we're getting there. We're already pushing out adventure hooks. I feel, mm-hmm. Like we're kind of expanding this. What are some of these characters? What are some characters that fill this world? Obviously Holly's going to be there. Well, actually I think the Coastal Divers Lodge is its own location.
Yeah. Well,
completely.
It's either its own location or it's a location within,
right.
The Skykite Valley. So I don't know how we're going to.
Yeah. I think maybe we do Skykite Valley and then have the Coastal Divers Lodge right behind it in the book. Mm-hmm. So people can read the Skykite Valley. It'll reference the Coastal, yeah. Divers Lodge. And then you flip the page and it's like, ah, here, yeah, it is.
There it is.
So we won't talk about Holly. So who are other characters? Although Holly might appear in both. Both locations, yeah. Which is interesting,
especially if she's like really trying to push to get any like her, you know, what she's up to is like is important to her, and it's like she has her like urgency to get this stuff done and figure things out.
Yeah.
So you know, she might be pressing pretty hard, and you know, people who are making stuff in Skykite Valley might be irritated with her. Like they might just be like, oh, Holly, you know, can you just leave it alone, you know? And
so. Yeah, I like, not to say this is the interaction, but I think it'd be an interesting interaction when you meet her. as like you're going to the local shop, she's walking out and slams the door. And she's like, this is the last time you'll work in this town. Like, who's this girl?
Yeah. Like, what are you looking at?
Yeah, exactly. And then you meet her later and you're like, you're the daughter of of the captain, of the sea captain. That's so funny. But who outside of Holly, who are important people, who are important NPCs in this space? Obviously, I think especially if this is a town, I want a leader here rather than like a, or maybe not a leader, but maybe not a leader, maybe a council or something like that.
Like a mayor.
But someone should be, if they're not the leader of the town, maybe they're the leader of like the aeronauts or the people that are pushing to go on this expedition, because then there's like a person, there's a face to this movement in some capacity.
Yeah.
I don't know. We haven't really, I mean, most of the towns, most of the villages are all run by small conglomerates, like groups, village elders, merchants, farmers who come together and kind of make joint choices for the people, and it's a lot more communal. But if this is a big kind of almost industrial mechanic built festival filled thing, there's probably a few people that are, I think this place should feel less village like it should feel less homey. It should feel more bustling, and
it's almost like in a weird way you could kind of do a thing where you've got like, once upon a time, it was just like this lovely valley that, and it was a village. And then because of just things that have happened, and because of it's just the natural, you know, area that allows for, it's like perfect for flight, it has attracted these sort of industrial mechanics. And so there could be this two layers. There could be these villagers and the village elders that are kind of like, some kind of don't like it. Some are kind of grumpy, like, oh, this new industry that's coming, it's wrecking the place. You know, it's like now there's just junk in the sky and it's all like, oh, octopus and squid and whatever. And it used to be you could just look out and see the birds and see the hunter, and that's all that should be in the sky. Nothing should be in the sky but the hunter and the sky king. And then there's this now, and then there's these other part of the village council that might be, there might be one dissenting voice that says, you know, but this is like the way of the future, and you know, it's bringing people into the valley, and they're like, well, we don't want it to grow. And then you've got that kind of industrial captain person who's like, we're going to go to the moon, you know, we're going to go to the Sky King, we're going to figure this out. And they do that, and they brought their kind of, you know, kind of bossy and commanding, and now there's this sort of two layers. There's that sort of group that wants to go to the Sky King, and there's this, the village council, and then they have there's a tension between them.
Oh man. So it's almost like a transition. Like we're almost like, there's the original leaders of the village, and now these, this is mirroring our own world now, where it's like, there are almost celebrities who are garnering so much respect and repower and admiration that people are almost treating them like leaders.
Yeah,
when they haven't, it's almost like, it's like, whoa, you're like, you know, someone might walk down the street and you're like, you're the captain, or, you know, you're the person who glided from the top of Mount Abora. Yep. That's so cool. And they're like, and you know, and then when it comes to a council meeting, that person might step up and be like, I think we should actually put our resources into candle wax generation.
Because you know, then, when I drifted down from Mount Arbora, the only thing that I was thinking, I saw all the potential of this.
Exactly. And then all of the village elders are like, that's, but we need to, you know, but the left corridor of the city's collapsing. We need to rebuild it. And then all of the villagers like step up and they're like, no, we like, you know, we like Tom and the hero. He's great.
That makes
great.
Me sad.
It does. It is a little sad, but it also, it's how it would work.
It's drama. It's drama. You know, and it is like, it's interesting because like there are towns and cities that's happened to, like in real world. Like, yeah, this nice little sleepy town, and then all of a sudden it's the center of the gold rush. Or there's a nice little sleepy town and it suddenly becomes a tech capital.
Yep.
And, you know, there's this split between, you know, the old ways and this new way. And, you know, usually it's the thing of like, the younger generation is like fascinated with the new way, and the elders are kind of in that space of like, you know, this is destroying the youth, you know, like Sky Kite used to be a quiet, you know, lovely sleepy town where you could just relax and have a sunset. And now there's, you know, all this, all these crazy things going on with all this, you know, newfangled stuff, and they're bugging the koi, the giant koi fish up there. They just want to be left alone. They don't want this junk flying around.
I just wrote down in my notes section, elders versus inventors. It's the it's the cage match I didn't know I needed.
The classic feud.
That's right. Yeah.
We have the Wright brothers versus six elderly women.
The keep the Sky Kite Valley auxiliary.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So it seems like we should probably generate, like, you know, maybe we have a group. There's two groups. There's the elders, and there's like what I would say the famed pilots. And the famed pilots, maybe there's five in each, and there's one pilot who's the most famous, who's leading this expedition, and then there's one elder who's the most contrarian. And then they have a second, you know, we name all the others, that we just name them and we don't need to describe them, but we almost make groups as NPCs, and it's like, here are the leaders of these two groups. Here are the other NPCs. We're not going to get into them. We're just going to describe the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have these other pilots that you can mess around with, and these other characters you can play around with. You just have to develop them yourself.
I like that if both of those characters are slightly unlikable, that the village elder is kind of unlikable and the leader of the expedition is slightly unlikable, and because it makes it hard to choose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For the players, like, well, okay, we kind of, what do we believe in? What do we think? Should they go this guy? Because, and I guess probably we should write it in such a way that you kind of don't know what the cause of the Sky King's problem is, or like if, you know, going up there and screwing around with it is gonna be a problem. Like maybe some of the doomsayers are like, if you go up there, if you touch that thing and you bring down whatever it was, like if it's a disease or if it's like some magical curse, like you could curse the whole valley, you know? And you're like, should we do that? Should anybody be doing that? And maybe some of those people approach the players and are like, or the adventurers, and go like, hey, we'll pay you to like just destroy whatever.
Sabotage
what they're up to.
You could even set it up so it seems like there's a third party where it's like, there are these people that are anti-expedition, and it's like a group, and they kind of seem, you know, they're rough around the edges, and they kind of seem like bandits, and you don't really know that, you know, they're the pirates although they end up being good guys, the pirates from Porco Rosso, where they're they're the rough ones in the town. And then you find out later that the elder of the village hired them under like a fake name.
Oh, man.
And so it's actually tying back to like this weird feud between these pilots and these elders.
Yeah, they both have deal with it like underhandedly.
Yeah.
It could be like the village elder, you know, could, or one of the village elders could be paying you to sabotage things, but then the other people could be that maybe to build this final thing, they need a full vote from the elders, and it's a formality. They're doing it just to be kind.
Yeah.
But they're at that point where they're like, we're kind of at point where we don't want to be kind anymore. We're just going to do it and screw tradition, but they want to do it anyway. And there's one holdout.
Yeah.
And they go to the adventurers and they're like, hey, this one holdout, can you like strong arm them or sweet talk them or do whatever you can do to like get them to like vote the right way?
You could have this, like, they're on the elder side, they go to like steal the thing or stop the whatever, the pilots all confront them, but they do it in a charismatic way that convinces, like, no, you don't get it, we're trying to save the island. They convince the players to, like, so it's almost like, you know, you're always the stories, the players keep on flipping sides. They're like, who are we here to help right now? Because if you can kind of make them equally annoying, but then if they're equally annoying, you can also kind of have them, the players can flop sides. If you give valid points for both directions and there's tension in the group and the players have to keep on swapping sides, that makes for really interesting story.
Okay, to that point, what if that there's a rumor that in the head of the Sky King, there's like a diamond? And that it's sort of like, you know, in the oldie days when whalers had, they would go after ambergris. That was like this thing in the head of the sperm whales. Like they would pull this thing out and it was like this like weird fragrant wax or something like that. And that was like the big prize for these killing these whales. But maybe there's something like that in the Sky King. And maybe it could be a rumor, or you could actually, if you had a telescope and you looked, you could actually see a glint of it, or it's a magic thing.
Now,
you have an
idea. I have an idea on top of that. We could just make it wax. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, this wax is going to, this is going to be the thing that changes pink candles forever.
Oh, man.
If we mix just a little bit of this in there, it's going to last. These are going to burn twice as long.
Yeah.
It's going to open up exploration for the island. You know, we can sail beyond the island.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Because then it makes it like, oh, do we even want, oh, this is good. Yeah.
This is really good.
That's fun.
And maybe that's something that that's the hidden plot within the famous pilots is that that's what they really want to do, but maybe that's not, like, there's a rumor going about like on the lower decks, but like no one really knows it, but their hidden goal is, we don't want to save the Sky King, we don't want to touch the Sky King, we want to
chop its head
we want to pull this wax, we want to pull this, like, you know, this the cartilage mm-hmm. away, and we think this will, you know, the Sky King can fly. Maybe the cartilage is its secret or something. Yeah.
That must be a super, super secret. Like,
yeah.
Because if people learn, like, they're going to basically deface the Lion King, the Sky King. If they are going to, like, take a giant sword and just carve open its head and remove this thing.
Yeah.
People would freak out. Like,
right.
But there's like this inner circle of the inner circle that are kind of like, oh, we'll just tell them that we're going to go up and, you know, we're going to like just check it out. And like,
it could even just be one pilot, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this is my ambition. This is actually my secret mission.
Yeah. It could be the leader. Like the other pilots don't know.
Yeah. And so then there's some.
Can we make this into a movie?
I think so.
Yeah. This is so cool.
Yeah,
this is fun. This is just a Studio Ghibli movie.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's all right. Stretch goal.
Stretch goal. I have no idea how much it costs to make a movie. Probably too much. Oh, man. That's so cool.
I mean, you could do like still frame animation.
We could turn it into a comic series.
Mm-hmm.
That's more affordable.
I was thinking, like, there's, you know, you have your two faction or your two, I guess, factions or whatever. But like, there's the elders and the ambitious, you know, pilot who wants to go to the moon here. But maybe there is another character, a young person who is kind of seeing the madness of both of them and is kind of, you know, trying to go a third path. Like there's a third way that is more, or we let the party figure that out on their own.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like a cool,
I think having a dual, cause if we, the issue is we already have two NPCs, which are actually 10 NPCs. We should probably flesh out the rest of the space rather than fleshing out this storyline that we're building. So what other things can we do to flesh out the space? Who else is important in the space besides them?
Probably because, I mean, I could also imagine a scenario where players are going to want to create their own thing that, you know, in order to go do something maybe before the expedition happens, like we got to get up there first. You know, I can imagine an adventure would be kind of fun. I would also love to see if there's a really cool spirit idea here associated with the thermals or something, you know, something like that. Could
maybe
be interesting.
Maybe someone like a steam spirit of some sort that, like, you know, lives, what does it live under the water? Maybe does it, who knows?
Or like one of the natural like hot springs that are here. Mm-hmm. It could be really cool to have something like that.
Clouds.
That's
go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking the steam spirit maybe is like, if you could get the steam spirit's help, it could propel you to the Sky King. But it's, you know, the steam spirit's like notoriously grumpy.
I was about to say, is a real grump.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be that. It could be that he used to help the village a lot more, or they used to help the village a lot more, and then some dirtbag inventor or pilot, you know, burned that bridge for the entire village, and now he's a recluse. He hides somewhere.
So the pilot, the kind of hotshot pilot or whatever, might have actually been a partner with this spirit. And the spirit gets no credit in any of this thing. Oh, feels like that's cool. You only got there because of me, guy.
Yeah.
Like, kind of thing. The conversation earlier about the idea of spirits, making sure that we are baking spirits into where we can, into the society of Obajima, and not just like these just two layers on top of each other, right? Of the physical world and the spirit realm. I mean, those things exist. And they do have their own kind of separate properties, but the idea of there are spirit shop owners and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the idea of, there was a spirit here who was, the pilot's partner and just like probably knows this better, the aeronautics or whatever, better than most people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or the spirit could be like, doesn't like the way it's going, like feels like the humans, they're kind of, they're like Icarus flying too close to the sun. Like, you're not really supposed to be going up and messing with the Sky King. Like, and the spirit knows that and is like, maybe once every 100 years, like the spirit would take somebody they felt was worthy to go and like sort of like the image of the person standing on the Sky King.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe that young girl was like somebody who is pure of heart and could just like now be, see this, from there, or it's something along those lines.
Right.
And then the spirit's like, nope, that time is over. Like it's now humanity's kind of become corrupted or they're just become arrogant or too ambitious.
Also like another angle on the spirits could be a spirit that is just drawn to curiosity. Because this whole place, if it's about this kind of innovation and kind of there's just all this buzz about flight and everything. And even though there's like this new take on flight seems like it's been a part of this place. Even traditionally, I imagine like, it's called Sky Kite Valley. I can imagine that the idea of kites were what gave this place its original kind of association with the sky.
Yeah.
And so you might have just a spirit that wants to reward the genuinely curious about the world around them, or just drawn to that. And like that, we know as like, as what we're creating, there is this energy that bubbles up when everybody's kind of jamming together. And there might be just like a spirit or a type of spirit that's drawn to that.
Yeah.
It could be a take on a muse spirit or something like that. And it's like, when you're jamming, one of these spirits wanders in, it's like, oh, everyone's kind of, just firing on all cylinders all of a sudden.
Cool. That's interesting. Like maybe in the sort of hangar where they're building this sort of moon lunar or, sky, Sky King lunar lander thing, there might be a spirit that is fascinated and is helping them create this thing.
Just like asking the right questions.
Yeah.
Doesn't know it necessarily, but like, oh, what if it was like this? And they're like, I hadn't thought of that, kind of thing.
Yeah. What if it's what if it's a, well, I'm trying to remember the name. What do you remember what the colloquially is? Do you remember what the locals call spirits? The three different things. There's ghosts. Is it Wanderer?
I think Wanderer.
Yeah.
And maybe the spirit's a Wanderer who has really, really easy access in and out of the realms.
Oh.
So it's constantly like it'll be there. It'll kind of like has the, maybe it's even silent if we wanted to, but it has this weird like revelry, this like, crazed joyous smile when something good is happening, and then the moment that the kind of like the fleeting moan as the excitement dies down, he watches it like, and then it just kind of like disappears. Yeah. And then as you're like walking through, you can see like there's two kids like sitting and playing, and they're like playing, you know, marbles, and they're having a really good time, and it's like sitting behind them like really, really happy. And then like, you know, so, and it's almost, it almost could be this thing where you know, it has this transparency to it, like almost people, almost some people just don't even notice it. It has this invisibility like thing, but like for the perceptive adventurers, you know, they're always kind of seeing this thing a pop up and around. And then it's almost like, is this menacing? Is this not menacing?
It's a little creepy.
It's kind of like No Face, where it's like, are you, what are you? What is going on right now?
Or Cheshire
Cat. Am I supposed to like you, or hate this?
Yeah, I almost imagine it being less corporeal initially when it kind of wanders into a space and it becomes realer.
It becomes, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's opacity turns up. There's the more excited it is, slider. The more opacity fills itself. That's cool and a little creepy. And I also like that, like if you wanted to, you could kind of, this spirit isn't on anyone's side, it because it enjoys like the it because it's a muse spirit, you could see it behind some very villainous characters. As happy as it is two children playing marbles, because it just loves the feeling that people get when they're excited.
The breakthrough, the excitement.
Like two little kids and they're inventing their own game.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, if you put the dice, or maybe if we did this, and it loves that. It's just like the invention, the maybe it feeds on, or it, I don't know, it loves creativity. You know, it's like, it's drawn to it.
It could be a really good NPC for learning information on the pilots, because if you're like, what's going on here, and you keep on seeing the spirit around, it's like, well, this spirit's been in all of the meetings. Like it's sitting it's like they can't get rid of it. Like they've hi, there's elves on the team that have tried to communicate with it. There's spirit kin. There's all of these people have come to try to deal with the spirit, and it just like they try to push through it, and it's transparent, like passes through. They can't get rid of this thing. And they have no idea what it is. They can't figure out why it appears.
You need a like supernaturally boring character, like in What We Do in the Shadows. There's that energy vampire.
The energy vampire.
You have to send them in. Just like,
That's so funny.
All the color from the spirit just drains away immediately.
It disappears.
It's just gone.
Yeah. We've inadvertently taken this thing where I said, let's come up with some spirits or some ideas and NPCs that don't have to deal with the pilots and the elders. And then we keep on going back to them. So let's come up with some things that aren't, no attachments, just expand the Skykai Valley.
Yeah.
So what expands that? And I'm also realizing, because this is so big, we might have smaller entries in our NPC section here that are just like, this person runs a shop. This is their name. This is the name of the shop. And like less expansive, but to give people more options to play around with, because this town is so, because it's a town.
Yeah.
It's not a village. It's so much bigger. And so what are some interesting characters that you might find here? I mean, obviously there's going to be a kite shop. There has to be one. And that's probably
more than one.
Yeah. That's probably pretty important. So maybe like a kite shop, owner of some sort. Like they sell other goods and stuff like that, but they're known for their craft.
Well, can we talk a little bit about more about what's here? So we know what they're doing. Like what is here? So you enter this place, you know, it's kind of a buzz. Like there's probably a bunch of different workshops and, you know, warehouses and stuff where people are building, or hangars and stuff like that, where people are building all this stuff. Is that part of the town? Is there like, you know, the hangar quarter or whatever, or like the airfield, right. We have an overgrown airfield, but like, is there a place where all of this work happens, or is it kind of just scattered throughout because there's ad hoc quality as everyone's trying to make this happen? So in which case, like, what is it? Is there a place like a tavern where, I'm going to go back to the adventurers for a moment, but it feels like this is a big part of the identity here. Is there a place where they gather and just kind of talk about the latest developments? You know, you can wander into this tavern and you can hear all these little pockets of people talking about their latest kind of test flights and all this kind of stuff.
Well, we could do this, because The way Sky Kite Valley is kind of set up in my imagination, it's kind of like a stair stepping, mm-hmm. like the villa, the town is set up. So there's 20 different levels and it keeps on going mm-hmm. down yeah. as it's, cause it's kind of on That's this great. Built on the side of yeah. a cliff, and there's stairs that lead down to the bottom. And eventually it just gets the stairs lead into the ocean.
I am a sucker for stairs that enter water. I don't know what it is. There's this idea of having this transition from land to air or to water that it's like, I'm in.
So because of that, and because of the nature of Sky Kite Valley, we can kind of do some, we can come to some conclusions. The lower you are down, the probably, the not maybe not the poor, but the less well off you are. I don't think anyone's super poor here, but because height, because gliding, because these mm-hmm. things, the higher you are, the probably better it is. So I'd say somewhere, let's say if there's 20 different levels or 10 different, 15 different levels, somewhere in the middle, there's probably a bar that like a lot of people go to, and also probably has like an open surface with like docks mm-hmm. that people can like take their gliders. And like, I had a drink, I left, I had my ramen, I had my, you know, I had my, you know, sack of rice and tofu, and then I left and I glide yeah. off on either head down, or people that are up, when they take off, they can come and land there. Mm-hmm. So there's like these docks of people constantly like leaving and taking mm-hmm. off. And if we put it in the center, it means that people that are higher up can come and visit, and people that are, you know, lower off can mm-hmm. walk and then glide themselves down.
You can also have, last weekend I went to the Ballard Locks up in Seattle.
Mm.
It's a beautiful place. It's probably my favorite place in the whole city. So if you ever come up to visit, we'll go.
Okay.
But I'm also fascinated by lock systems, just because, you know, you're able to get boats to go up
higher.
Yeah. Higher. It's, you know, uh-huh. it's really fascinating. So if you have something like that, that could be like part of the impetus of how engineering became associated with this place. You might have, you know, fisher folk that are, you know, when closer to sea level, these are they're more associated with the water, and the mm-hmm. higher up you get, they're more associated with the air. And so but you could have these lock systems where, you know, fish and stuff are brought up that way, and
oh,
so
yeah.
it kind of just gives this visual thing, like the whole city might be bisected by this like lock system, this river thing.
Could yeah, that's kind of cool.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that. So just it might take a really long time, but essentially mm-hmm. maybe two chutes that go up, maybe one of them trails along the staircase.
Exactly.
And it yeah. just like takes cargo from the water up.
And it could be kind of some quasi magical steam driven, like from the land of hot water, like
oh,
this
great.
Thing that, you know, and it moves this whole, like, almost like I'm thinking of like the Earth Kingdom in
Avatar. Yeah,
Ba Sing Se, where it's like all that stuff is like moving on.
No, that's
Omashu.
Omashu yeah,
is
right.
the smaller
yeah.
one. Okay. Ba Sing Se and Omashu, that's the
yeah.
two.
Wow.
Boomy's place.
Yeah.
Boomy, that's right.
Boomy's house.
Yeah.
Classic Boomy. Okay, so we have, I like this. There's a bar owner. And we can kind of get into it. There's a bar owner. There's a central bar location that he probably runs that people come to. You maybe can be able to, you know, that's like a good place that a lot of people go to. Has a huge, I would say, flight docks. And then there's also like a barge system. And someone who runs the barge. So we'll probably need like the barge master who, mm-hmm. you know, spends their day. Like I could imagine them in like short shorts. Like they're yeah. like a really gruff person, but they're in short shorts and they're like, and their calves are shredded like a biker's because they're constantly walking up and yeah. down the stairs all day long. They're like, stickler's like, no one can ride in the barge, not even me, and like he's always walking up or down, or they're always walking up and down,
flops.
So a barge, like a barge master, would be cool. And because it intersects the village, I'd imagine players would often be interacting with the barge and interacting with them, and most likely, you know, you'll get into some Omashu riding the barge situations or stuff mm-hmm. like that, which would be fun. So a barge master would be really cool.
I love the idea also, like if you're using this barge that's going, you know, deep into the village, you could imagine fish folk raiders kind of infiltrating through there and just mm-hmm. getting it right, you know, right in the heart of the place. So it's cool.
Go ahead, Adam.
Well, I was just thinking of like fish folk and like, you know, maybe there is a bit of conflict, you know,
yeah,
like with fish folk raiders here.
So if the, I think we could probably leave the Fishfolk Raider section in the Coastal Diver Lodge section because they're in the same, I mean, at the very bottom of this Skyhook Valley, there's probably a dock system where the Diver's Lodge is.
Yeah.
So even though they're the same thing, we're splitting up those locations. So anything that has to do with the water super heavily, like the Coastal Diver's Lodge, we could probably break down as like the Diver's Lodge and the first three layers of Skyhook Valley and like the things that occur in the shallows, you know, like that section there, where we can get into more detail, because again, this is such a big location.
Getting into the Diver's Lodge real quick, I just had a thought, so I just want to share it. Just location wise, it would be interesting if it was located not necessarily on the coast nearby, but if you get down to the coastline and you look out kind of across the water and there's basically like a rock, like an outcrop there where the Diver's Lodge is there. So to get there, you need to have like a little boat to get out to this place.
Interesting.
So you could look out. So that way there's this like channel, there's this channel between the Diver's Lodge and Skyhook Valley.
Yeah, that's cool.
And all kinds of shenanigans can happen
in between. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're running out of time to keep on schedule. There's probably going to be more NPCs very soon. More NPCs to come. We'll probably flesh this out even more. The village in itself is, or this town is very, very big. One of the bigger ones, including, I mean, it's obviously the last time we talked about the largest village or largest town in Obajima, it was more overview because there's so much we didn't get super in depth with a lot of stuff. It's very similar to this. Skyhook Valley is very large. So we're going to do more work on this outside of the podcast, flesh things out. But I feel like we have a pretty decent understanding of what this is compared to
the vibe in particular.
Like, the vibe in particular. Yeah. There's
conflict.
There's really, I think this might be our strongest story hook built for any of our locations thus far, at least on the podcast. It's very strong story.
Ties into the cover.
Yeah.
The book.
Yeah.
It does tie into the cover.
That's right. That's right.
Anyways, thank you so much for watching. My name is Jeremiah. This is Ari and Adam. You can tune in every week to watch this podcast, at least for the foreseeable future. You can catch us on YouTube or follow us on social media, on TikTok or Instagram. And I still have yet to get anything up on Spotify. I'm so sorry. I know I'm an absolute liar and fool, but I promise you it will occur. I've just been very, very busy with the book and all the other things. That being said, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch you next time.